Well, it gives me great pleasure to welcome Mr. Edmonton to the show today. Robert McLeod, who is the broker and president of McLeod Realty and Management. Welcome to our podcast video, Jurok video channel.
Good morning, Ozzy.
Look, we're very happy that you're here, because somebody with 20 years experience, and that also ran one of Alberta's best known project marketing firms. I know that firsthand, because my partner Rob Case and I and some investors, we bought some 33 units in one of the projects that you marketed. I still own some of them, some of these units. So but the big thing is, you are sort of an ace realtor. You are twice the number one realtor, but you made a shift in your outlook, and you're now preparing mostly to be in the property management area. Is that right?
Correct. In 2018, that's when we incorporated the new brokerage.
So, and now you have some about 3,300 units, retail strip malls, office buildings, condos, apartment buildings, low and high rise, and many owner-occupied units for absentee owners, like I'm one of them. And so, but you know, you did yourself $1.5 billion worth of real estate transactions personally. So you are Mr. Real Estate.
Well, it almost killed me. I loved brokerage. I loved being, I'm still a realtor and I love it. But what I started doing very early on in my career was focusing on the projects. I was interested in bringing them to life. Most of those were conversions at the time, and then we moved into new developments. And over that period of time, you know what, if for anyone that was buying and selling in Edmonton in the early 2000s, between 2000 and 2010, I mean, you had basically in 2006, the market doubled overnight. And then 18 months later, it fell 35%. So it was incredibly volatile. It was an interesting time to be a realtor, because when I started, I just, well, prices continuously go up. This is not difficult. And so what started to happen was in 2014, that's when I really saw the shift and the writing on the wall. And it was the bottom of the condo market basically fell out. And there's a lot of reasons for that. You know, there had been no new purpose-built rental built in Edmonton since the 70s. So if you were in the market and you wanted something reasonably nice, you didn't rent. You bought a condominium or a single family house. Prices were significantly different then. And we had a 240-unit condo project, and a little bit different. You know, the pre-sale market never really took off in Alberta as it did in other jurisdictions. And so you basically had to build it out. You had it one day, and then you started selling. And we took what we would typically do for project marketing and as condos and just turned it into rentals and leased up that building and really proved out that that what we were doing in marketing and branding these projects translated into rental. That went on for several years. And then it was in 2018 when we finally realized we were really property managers. We weren't really realtors anymore. Yeah. And our model now needed property management in-house at its core.
Well, and that's the thing is, you know, you build teams and you really take great care of your clients. I mean, I'm an absentee owner, and I probably have never been as well informed about my units than I am with your company. No question about it. I'm not saying that because you're here and you're extremely good looking, you know, and you're a boater, my God, you know. I mean, I don't know anybody that has his boat out as much as you that doesn't live in Vancouver, you know. I mean, most of our boats in Vancouver stay at the dock, and then I see a little memo from Keats Island or Bowen Island or up the Princess Louisa Reach Inlet, you know. So you have my admiration, because I consider myself a boater, but you get out more than I do. But look, you know, we know that Alberta has had a better 3 years than better than 2023 than certainly in Vancouver. There's a lot of immigration going into Alberta, and real estate prices are up, inventory is down. So how do you feel about that?
It caught me off guard. I mean, I feel great about it. I've got some properties in Edmonton that I've owned for years, and I always said, the second they get to the point where they're worth what I paid for them, I'm ready to sell them. I don't want to get greedy. And starting in 2024, I was able to realize those numbers. So it was positive. Prices are up, inventory is down. RE/MAX came out with their forecast for 2025 just a few days ago, and has forecast a 10% increase in Edmonton in the coming year. When you look at 10% in Edmonton relative to the price of real estate in Edmonton, it's feasible, and it's still affordable. So 2024 started off with a bang. And what we saw very quickly was a real surge in investor demand, primarily from Ontario.
Interesting.
And when we look at investors coming into Alberta, they generally come from two places. And I choose my words very carefully. They come from the province of Ontario and the city of Vancouver. And of those that were coming in from Ontario, it was speculative. Ontario had just outpriced the investors' ability to even get into the market. And we were selling a lot of product. Our team was selling a lot of product, sight unseen, primarily low-rise condominium product. I would say, the $180,000 to $220,000 product.
Yeah,
But
I mean,
as we move into,
you just talked about a front door in Vancouver, you know.
well, you know, it's the spread between the prices in Edmonton and Calgary, just to talk to that point for a second about Alberta as a whole. Edmonton has always been statistically lower than Calgary. In 2020, housing in Calgary, I believe, was 23% more expensive than Edmonton, and now Calgary is a third higher than Edmonton. So traditionally, we saw investors that would go to Calgary first. They generally, from outside Alberta, were more familiar with the Calgary market. And now that they've seen that spread continue to grow, those investors are now looking at Edmonton first. And interestingly enough, on our property management side, which we can chat with a little bit about, where are these tenants and where are they coming from? Only recently, now we're starting to see people from within Alberta, specifically Calgary, now moving to Edmonton, again, chasing affordability.
Well, just to also to clarify, I mean, you can buy a condo still under 250,000, and you have a lot of choice. And you can buy a brand new house under what, 550,000, and you have a lot of choice, you know. And so when you look at average prices in Alberta versus ridiculous Vancouver, 2.3 million for the average single family home, and condos, $1 million gives you, barely 900 square feet. So when you take a look just from a price point of view, and then inside Alberta, as you point out, Edmonton is a government town. Employment is almost guaranteed when you have a government town. So there's a lot of reasons why Edmonton has done well. So are the buyers in Alberta then mainly, say, from Ontario and BC still?
Yeah, there are. I mean, you look at affordability in Canada, that pressure is causing people to look at Alberta for various reasons. It's something I spoke to. So Roxanne Johnson, she's our vice president of operations, and I gave her a call this morning and mentioned we were getting on this call, and I said, she supervises the property management team directly. They report to her, and I said, just here's some of the things we're talking about. What would you say? And she said, well, what's different now is with the whole work from home post-COVID, we are seeing people from Ontario. And again, I'm saying Ontario because it's quite significantly more than we're seeing from Vancouver. From
Interesting.
Ontario, coming to Alberta, husband and wife, and one has come or and or potentially has a job. The other one has realized that work from home has allowed them, they don't need to live in Waterloo. They don't need to live in downtown Toronto.
Sure.
They can come to Alberta, work from home. And to that point, we just hired a new condominium manager. Believe it or not, very difficult skill set to actually find someone with tenure and experience. And she applied on Indeed, and she was managing condos in downtown Toronto. And her first day with our company is actually today.
Yeah,
And,
fantastic.
living in downtown Toronto, paying $3,500 a month in rent for a one bedroom, coming to Alberta and able to rent a brand new town home with a yard that's fenced, that's pet friendly, that has good amenities, for $2,200, opens up the door for a lot of people to say, well, if I want to get ahead in this country, there's a lot of places where you're not, irrespective of having good gainful employment, but the ability to actually enjoy that money and potentially put some aside. So, Alberta is still calling.
Well, and that's what I find. I mean, we always used to say, are you an investor or are you a flipper or are you a shark? And sort of the differences in each habits of what they're going to buy. Well, in Vancouver, you buy a condo for $1.5 million. And even if you rent it at $3,500, by no measure is that an investment. There's no return. You're hoping that you're going to flip it to somebody else. And in Toronto, they were selling whole slews of pre-sale condos in 2022 and 23. The average foot is $1,600 a foot. So you buy a 500 square foot unit for 800,000. In Edmonton, you get a 1,000 square foot unit for 250. And so, and then the rents are not that much lower as they are. So you have the return is actually there, no question about it.
Yeah, it's Christmas of last year. Actually, with partners, we bought our first building in Richmond. We bought 47 strata units and converted the building back to an apartment. The long-term play in 10 years is to redevelop it to a high-rise site. And yeah, so I have firsthand knowledge of how we were able to stabilize the rents and the difference between what we're getting in rent relative to our operating cost and our debt service. And yeah, we're going to be feeding it for 10 years, but
Well, you're brave.
you only got to live a little bit, but sometimes you got to get out of your own market as well. By virtue of the fact that I'm here in Edmonton and I do what I do, I don't do it just because I was born and raised in Edmonton. As an investor, I put my money where I believe the growth and the strength is. And so I'm lucky that I happen to be in specialized in a market where I'm a very, very satisfied investor myself here.
Well, it's interesting. We're getting this a lot of inquiries about what they call the rent invest, so that you rent your luxury house, but say it's a $5 million house, well, rent it, but then you invest your money in an area like Edmonton or Florida or somewhere else where the return in relation to the money that you invest that makes sense, where the tenant actually does pay off a mortgage if you have a mortgage, or where the return is at least 7 or 8%, and that's then an investment. In the meantime, what you bought, when you look in Vancouver, we have a 3%, say for a foreign owner, you have a 3% vacancy home tax, and we have a 3% speculation tax, which we just doubled at the last BC government missive. Well, that's 6% on $5 million. Now I have to pay $300,000 in taxes. So they're all over the place wanting you as a tenant, because even if they charge you only $5,000 a month, which would be a bargain, because if you bought it, you would pay a fortune. But you want to actually apply your money in a market where it gives you a return, and Edmonton is one of those places. Is the Edmonton tenant also getting used to higher rates, or are there, what's the Edmonton tenant like?
Well, the Edmonton tenant that's been a tenant for a long time got used to very stable rental rates. So we were very cautious last year because look, we've seen it before. You try to take every building and you go to market rents right away, and when the market turns, 30% of your tenants move out. S seen it enough. So we're cautious. The cost of turning over a unit and vacancy is always your biggest expense. So we pushed rents up and got very little blowback. I mean, everyone was expecting it was coming. What surprised me, and it's courteous because when you're in the property management business, you're rarely told when you're doing something right, but you're always reminded when you're doing something
Oh, yeah, and often.
wrong. was we would send out our rental renewal letters to our tenants, and they have choices whether they want to go fixed term or month to month or whatever. And there's different prices on that. And we had tenants responding that were grateful, that said, I was expecting a lot more. Now, internally, we laugh and say, well, maybe we should have pushed it. But, you know, we recognized that that relationship is worth a lot. You know, a tenant over a long period of time is who pays down your property. So we call it, you know, they're your golden goose and you got to treat them well. So we didn't get very much pushback. You know, as of November, so this month, the median rent for average property in Edmonton is $1,550. That's still 18% below the national average. It's $2.25 a square foot.
What do you
And
get for that? How many square feet?
well, the average two bedroom, we would probably say it would be 850 square feet.
So that's reasonable.
It's reasonable, and in most cases you're getting property that's almost brand new. You're getting amenities like in-suite laundry. So, you know, the market is balanced in that, you know, we've got decent housing starts in Edmonton. We have a new system in Edmonton, which is allowing for the fast approval of housing projects. So
Really?
there's a set of we define fast, right? It's
Yeah.
relative to every market. And so if what you are building is with it meets the zoning criteria and there's it's a checklist that you need to follow, and it's fairly robust, you can apply and receive a development permit and start construction on the same day.
Wow.
So this automated process, it speeds up, so applicants can speed up, they can start right away. It's estimated to save approximately $5.3 million total, and ensures that by allowing to do that, we can bring product to market quicker, and reduces the carrying costs for builders. And again, all of these things are just designed to make housing affordable. So there's also the City of Edmonton has a broader housing accelerator fund. It's planned to increase housing availability. Look, the population is growing. It's growing very quickly. I remember I was at one of your conferences. I'm trying to remember what year it was. And I gave the population prediction in Edmonton for 5 years. And I'll never forget it. The gentleman in the front row, he rolled his eyes at me and it actually distracted me from the rest of the presentation. And so I went back and I looked, and I said, no, I fervently believe in these numbers. The population in Edmonton the last just 15 years, okay, so went from 1.175 million to 1.607 million, so 37% increase in population. So they're coming here for a reason, and you know, I work with a lot of developers. We have a lot of new, primarily townhome product actually, which is highly in high demand. Rental townhome product phased coming to market, and that's the new flavor. You know, Edmonton was very quick to build a lot of low-rise apartment product, and now what's happening is as those tenants are maturing and want a family or children or so forth, now that next step is they're wanting townhome product, and it's not just people moving to Edmonton, and it's not just people maturing in Edmonton saying they want to rent. You know, with that, there's a doubling effect to that the demand for rental property. As the real estate values increase, we are seeing people that are selling their principal residence, and for whatever reason, they are transitioning into being long-term tenants.
Well, and that is going on everywhere, but also for the investor, certainly is music to my ears to hear that, you know, we have right now a situation where the BC government mandated a whole bunch of things, among those that the city does not have to allow you to know the what the offsite costs are until the day before they get the building permit. So who's going to buy a lot if I don't know what the offsite costs for hydro and you know the city things are? It just doesn't make any sense. They talk affordability and create more housing, but what are we really creating? Whereas Edmonton seems to be managed well. And one of the reasons When I tell people about Alberta taxes, they're saying you're crazy. But look, we know there's no land transfer tax. It's 0% in Alberta. It's 2% up to 2 million in Vancouver. And then over that, we have riders that bring it right up to 5%. We have a speculation tax that you don't have. We have a vacant home tax that you don't have. I mean, these are big. I mean, in Vancouver now for a resident, it's a 1%. The speculation tax, you add 1%. But look, income tax is 15% in Alberta. It's 20% in BC. The federal provincial taxes combined are 47% in Edmonton and 54% in Vancouver. Corporate taxes are 8% in Edmonton and 12% in Vancouver. Taxes on gas, now this is really a wonderful one. It's 9% in Edmonton. It's 29% in Vancouver. Payload taxes, you don't have any. We have to pay 2% and so on and so on. And you say to yourself, it seems to be the Vancouver solution, or rather the BC solution, is just tax it more. And then we're going to get the money to build, which of course is not happening. Whereas in Edmonton saying, how can we make it faster, quicker, better, and get more housing?
Well, every time we talk about the taxes we don't have in Alberta, I think we've said this enough, everyone must get it. And I still get people that they shake their head in disbelief. And land transfer tax is that big one. A lot of people, most that I talk to in BC, they think it's federally mandated. It's not. But the best way to describe real estate in Alberta is it's still the real estate Wild West.
And yeah. In a good sense.
Well, in the best of sense. Yeah. And you can't help but look. And you know, it's not a difficult concept. You can see it. It's playing out in real time. And that is the government's desire to assist, control, and find ways to increase housing affordability is not working. The more regulation that is put in place, it's having a direct opposite effect.
Yeah.
And it's playing out in real time. And so at some point, I'm trying to remember, I believe it was the mayor of Toronto a few years ago that was talking about budget deficits. And the response was, we don't need to worry about it because of the levies that we charge the developers. I was, you know, sometimes you think, you know, people aren't unintelligent to get to these positions to say these things, but I can't believe that just came out of your mouth. And I had a little bit of a stint in my career where I worked with one of Canada's largest developers of private developers of residential real estate in Ontario and in BC. And when I was able to peek under the hood and look at the DCCs, the development costs that they were paying in Vancouver, in Toronto, in San Diego, I was it just brought to light why we have these problems.
Yeah.
And you know, if you go and you look at you know, the amount of income that's left at the end of the day, right? Household income as it relates to a percentage of rent. Edmonton is 33.5%.
Yeah.
Calgary's at 42.5%. And you go on and on and you look at Vancouver at 99%, Toronto at 77%, and the Canadian average of 60%. Like, you know, we should just simply turn this ad into this video into an ad for Pro Alberta. I mean, and it's consistently been that. Yeah. So you're saying, well, what would you rather? At the end of the day, you have 3% left of what you've spent. You're going to live on 3% after paying your rent, or you come to Alberta and you're going to have 55% left at the end of the day.
And to have a good life, you know.
And the nicest thing about it is, you know, it doesn't matter where you live. I've always found that 6 months out of the year, wherever you live, you don't want to live there. In Vancouver, it's rain. 6 months out of the year, it's snow in Edmonton. 6 months out of the year in Phoenix, it's 45 degrees. And I'm looking at my window right now, and I've got a beautiful front lawn with half a foot of snow, and I've got this sky that's bright, and it's sunny every day.
Yeah.
And so now I have 55% left over. Well, what does that mean I can do? Well,
go to Phoenix.
There you go. Take a trip to Phoenix. You've got the means to now be able to get out. And so You know, there's no better way to be able for both for lifestyle, but also
Yeah.
for investors. We have a growing list of investors, ma and pa in Vancouver, and kids are now getting ready to leave. They're not going to spend $1.5 million or even have the means to give them that money to buy their first home in Vancouver. They need to be there close to family. I get the rest of it. It's hard to
Right.
pack and move provinces. But they're getting the down payment and they're buying real estate in Alberta.
Sure.
They don't own the properties they live in, but they want to own real estate.
Well, that's the point I was trying to make. You could actually, even if you had some assets, I mean, if say I have $2 million to put down on a $5 million house and I have a $3 million mortgage, the payments on that and starter fees and so on, wow, that $2 million is sort of lost. But if I had that $2 million and buy, 10 condos in Alberta at 200,000 apiece, I could create a huge income for myself and a lifestyle. It's certainly clear. It's funny what you're saying about the mayor of Toronto. The mayor of Burnaby in Vancouver said just a month ago, he says, we don't have to worry about costs. We're just charging 50,000 a condo unit. And many of us asked, well, who's going to pay for it? The developer will pay for it. Really? I mean, the buyer's going to pay for it. 30% of all of our costs on an average condo in Vancouver is government costs, total levies, permits, and so on.
You look at all those costs and you look at what's going on in the news right now, and of course the threat of tariffs against Canada, and of course it'd be interesting to see how this plays out. But again, at the end of the day, it sounds great. Well, who's going to be paying all of this, right?
Yeah,
it's pushed down on everyone, and you're starting to see the backlash. And the backlash is simple. People aren't going into the streets with pitchforks on fire. They're going into the streets with luggage on their back and their car and rack. And that's their form of protest. That, you know what? My car, my commitment to moving is what? Two tanks of gasoline and I'm in Alberta. There you go.
Well, and that's it. And I have a mortgage broker, a friend of mine, who made that decision for, he sells an $800,000-$900,000 house in the Fraser Valley in Edmonton. He owns a clear title. It's like a and he made that adjustment. He says, well, bought some snowshoes and started to love this kind of a lifestyle. And me, I'm a skier. I love the snow, right? The point is that everybody seems to be worried about what Trump is going to do or what he's not going to do. What we should remember, he was actually for Keystone. It was Biden on the second day of his inauguration that canceled the Keystone project, which would have put 830 barrels of oil a day to the United States. And what people don't realize, we are still now providing over 60% of the U.S.'s oil. And when you take a look at almost 90% of our total oil production goes to the United States, that's not going to be tariffed away. And then what is going to be another tariff? The auto industry? The auto industry is married across the border. They're both in the United States. Which one is going to get the tariff? A good negotiator, as you know, because you are an ace negotiator, starts out with putting it, this is the big deal, right? And then the other pushes back. And then somewhere we dance together and we come up with something that hopefully is a... So before people get too worried. But what's in store for Alberta that you see in the next few years?
Well, if you look at the forecast for housing starts, it's an indication of industry and developer sentiments of what they see is going to happen in Alberta. The forecast on the high for 2024 was 17,000. This is Edmonton, of course, the Edmonton CMA, 19,000 for 2025 and 20,000 for 2026. So the expectation is that we are going to continue to see migration. We are seeing it slow a little bit. There's what's of course occurred in the news. You've heard about it, about caps on immigration and student visas. We are actually seeing that pan out, so it is real. What's interesting is there's just too much to watch on TV, and at the end of the day, I end up turning on YouTube, and the last couple weeks question period in the House of Commons has been just too entertaining to not watch. And last night I was watching where, we've had this discussion about caps on immigration and it's affecting affordability in Canada. And without taking a political position, I'm from Alberta where, profanity-laced anti-Trudeau bumper stickers and flags is actually a cottage industry. You had Pierre Poilievre, who was arguing against the liberals for the effects that they are having by putting these caps, and what are they going to do with all of the students that are here, and they want to make out a life in Canada. It's just very interesting to see where the narrative has flipped on that. And so what that tells you is Canada is recognizing that, there is a balance there. Maybe we went too far the other way, but we still need immigration. And Alberta is ready for it. I mean, you look at what's being built, you look at what's in the ground. I don't see affordability, the difference in affordability changing. I see lower interest rates doing two things, making it more affordable for first-time buyers to get into the market, making it more attractive for developers to still build because of the effect of carrying costs. And lower interest rates, of course, means more disposable income and so on and so forth. So it still looks like a great future ahead. There's lots of capital projects in Alberta. I think we get past this. Once we get past this threat from the incoming president, and we realize that, you know what, both economies still are very much tied at the hip, and we need each other, and we have the resources that the United States needs. And we're an emerging economy when you look at the size of Canada relative to the United States. The issue right now is border security. What was interesting was, if all of this is just simply to get Canada and Mexico to tighten up the borders, well, all it took was that threat, and it's now the one news discussion, which is, quite frankly, it's positive. It means, we're finding ways to work together, and you know what, with what we have under our feet in Alberta and a growing population, I see that, where we started the conversation about RE/MAX talking about a 10% increase in prices in Alberta is, it's very possible. I mean, vacancy rates in Edmonton, okay, just a few years ago, so 2021, so we're talking post-COVID, 7.3%, 2022, 4.3%. This year, 1.9. Next year's forecast at 1.7, and we're still able to control our rents without them going completely wild, even with vacancy rate below 2%, because we don't have rent control. We have a massive shadow market of investors that are able to get into the market and create supply. As well, by investing and turning properties into rental properties.
Well, and then I think you're making those points in a very clear way. I like what you're talking about, is professional property management. That's what you need. First of all, in Alberta, you have what is called an owner-built condo that might have heated floor and a whole bunch of amenities, and then there's rental built. There's somebody has to understand the differences and has to be a local expert. But more importantly, how to manage that building for long-term tenants. That's the crucial aspect of property management, in my view. I don't want to have constant turnover just to capture another $100. No, I'd rather have the people that are there. No rent control. It's been proven around the world rent controls simply don't work. And I think Alberta has, we have the lower prices, low everything in an environment where you have snow on the ground. It is still can be a very good investment for investors. You have any final words for our listeners to take home with you?
You know what? I know that listeners are looking for, insights. Like I say, peek under the hood. What do we actually see happening on the ground? Is it a good time to buy? Should I be selling? Should I be investing? And I don't want to sound like a realtor would say, "Perfect, do all of the above all the time." But look at Alberta closely. If you own in Alberta, the second the market started to move, when I put this narrative in our investor and reports that we send out to our clients, our property manager reports monthly, just about what's going on, is immediately the question was, "Well, what's it worth, and should I sell right now?" You know what? Just be patient. Good things are in store for Alberta. If even half of what I have said here pans out, then we're going to be able to see reasonable, predictable growth in the value of our real estate in Edmonton and set it and forget it and hold it for the long term. Alberta is not a market to buy and sell and flip quick. Okay. And real estate's easy to get into, it's hard to get out of. So if you have a challenge, it usually means you have a problem, and real estate is not meant to be exciting. And so probably need a better property manager. So in that case, give me a call.
Well, and that I want to make sure that everybody knows we have the Robert's contact information below in the description, and he also will put you on his mailing list for these fine reports that he puts out. I personally get a 100% endorsement on the property management that he's doing for my units in Edmonton. It's now been what, 4 years. And I just what amazes me is always that all I do is get a check every month. I no hassle, no hoopapa, no the thing. If you go to the BC Landlord and Tenant Association website, the problems that people have continuously, well, it just doesn't happen in Edmonton, or maybe it just doesn't happen with McLeod Property Management. Thanks for taking the time, Robert. All the best to you, and have a great snowy winter.
I promise I will. See you on the water, Ozzy.
You bet.